welcome to you. Appreciate you joining us today. Well, hope you have a good time with us.
Okay, so we've been studying this book called Ecclesiastes, and this book is about a king by the name of King Solomon. And King Solomon was a person who was considered one of the wisest men in the world then. And he had a lot of wisdom concerning how to see things in life. But then along the way, he also began, as he saw a lot of things in life, he began to be a bit disillusioned with many, many different things. And part of the problem was that he did not bring God as much into the picture as he saw things. Okay, he saw things from the standpoint of the world. And he had a lot of wisdom, and there are a lot of things that he wrote that was very wise, and yet there are limitations to it, which I will show you today as we study this passage. Okay, well, let's pray before we begin. Our Heavenly Father, we just want to pray and thank you for this time that we can once again study your word. And as we study the book of Ecclesiastes, we pray, dear Lord, that you will grant us wisdom and help us to understand, to have a good spiritual perspective of life and especially work, and how we can be able to navigate with spiritual principles in this world. And we pray, dear Father, that you will bless this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, now let's turn to the book of Ecclesiastes once again. And we come to chapter 9. Now, Pastor Mark went ahead last week when y'all had a combine, y'all went ahead. So now we go backwards a bit to a passage that he already had dealt with YPG 2. Okay, so now we will deal with verse 10, chapter 9, verse 10 to verse 12. Now, in verse 10, we read, it is what we call a common good advice. That means this advice is not limited to Christianity. Actually, all the other religions also talk about this. In fact, every family member, every parent will also tell you the same thing. Right? And the verse is, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. For there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. See, again, he's dealing with the idea of death. Right? He constantly thinks about this idea of death. Now, basically, he's trying to say is, work hard. Right? In life, we must work hard. If you find certain things to do where you got to study, you got to study hard. You work, you got to work hard. Right? Whatever your hands find to do in life, whether it is work, or whether it is your incumbent responsibilities, whether it be a daughter, whether it is be, in time to come, if you have become husband and wife, you be a mother or a father, there are all responsibilities in life that we all have. And whatever you have found in life, you got to do it with, put your heart and soul into it. I mean, my father used to tell me, you want to do anything in life, you put your heart and sow into it. If not, don't do it at all. That was his advice to me. And I think that's good advice. I think we all should work hard in life. If you don't work hard, you don't get rewarded. You don't study hard, you fail. You work hard, hopefully along the way, you get promoted, you are blessed with more, and so on. So it's a good principle. It's a principle that Hinduism also talk about. Right, so in the Bhagavad Gita, he say, if you have the right to work, but for the work's sake only. That means, if you work, then work for the sake of working. You have no right to the fruits of your work. Desire for the fruits of your work must never be in your motive in working. So this is the Hinduism. That means, if you find something to do, just do it. Don't worry about the fruit. Right? So just do it. Just like Nike, just do it. Right? And in Chinese also, Confucianism, right? They also tell you, you got to work hard in life. So Confucius says, choose a job you love and you will never have to work a day in your life. True? I don't fully agree with it. Right. What if you follow along the way, you fall out of love of it? Right? You may love it now, but along the way, you have a new boss and you give new boss gives you a hard time. Then how? You don't love your work anymore. You see? Go before the people with your example and be laborious in their affairs. Okay, well, that's what Confucius says. Right, so it's not limited to Christianity, this verse. Okay, it's called a general, common, good, human advice. Right? Your parents tell you the same thing. You know, study hard. Right? Then you tell your brothers and younger brothers and sisters, study hard. Right? In time to come, you will tell your own children, or your Sunday school class, whoever you're involved in, we all got to study hard and do well. Okay? So this is the work that has been given. So work can be challenging at times. It may mean that we may have to toil. It means hard work. Working hard is something that God has given man to do. Right? So how many hours do you all work every day? Have you started work? No, still okay. Still finding for work. How many hours do you work every day? 8 hours? 9? At least 8, 9, huh? Right? You? What's the longest day you have ever had? 11 hours. Okay. I've worked 16 hours, 17 hours. Non-stop until midnight. Oh, okay. 2 hours sleep. Then carry on again. 3, 4 a.m. When I was in the... I used to be a pilot in the Air Force. And so some days, you don't go home. You stay at the, you know, working place and you just work and work. You take 2, 3 hours sleep and then you carry on. Okay? So that's part of life. That's part of work. Do with all your might. And sometimes people can be half-hearted in their work. Especially if they don't like their work, right? If you don't like your work along the way, you don't put your whole heart into it. Or we can be distracted. Or we can end up being lazy. We don't work as hard as we should. Or we get caught up with something else. And, you know, our attention and our focus may not be on that work. And so the challenge is, how do you sustain working hard? Okay, we all understand we all need to work hard. But the problem comes is, how do you sustain working hard? Now, to me, that is the greatest challenge to working life. I mean, you can do it. You can by sure will and sure energy, by sure inspiration, okay, you can work hard for a while. But then when things become difficult, when things become challenging, and then you have a lot more responsibilities, your boss demands more from you, your workload increases, and then it becomes very stressful. What do? How do you sustain doing work with all your... I've been working now for the last 30 years. I started working when I was 19, so now I'm 59. 40 years. I've been working for 40 years since I was 19. 8 years in the Air Force, 30 over years as a pastor. Every day I'm still looking forward to working. Every day I wake up, okay, man, this is another day to work. How do you sustain it? See, to me, this is the key thing. You notice? What is his inspiration? Okay, his inspiration is, for there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. What's his inspiration to work? his inspiration is, I'm going to die one day. Right? Which I think most of us don't think about at this age. I'm going to die one day. Now, of course, he's much older. And one day when I die, there won't be any more chance to work. So he's very obsessed with death. He's very focused on this idea about death, that death ends everything. Now, that's his motivation, to some extent, to work hard. Right? But, I mean, how many of you really think of death at this point of time? We don't. It's not part of the equation. So how do we find this opportunity or this ability to keep working hard? Now, let's move on to the next part, and then we'll come back to this. And then he goes on to the next part where he says, in verse 11, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill. Okay? In other words, what he's trying to say is that not everyone who runs swiftly will win the race. Not everyone who goes into the battle, the strongest, will win. Not everyone who is wise will earn bread at the end. And not everyone who is man of understanding will gain riches. Right? But time and chance happen to them all. Time and chance. Now that's a very worldly way of looking at life. That means everything happens because of time, your timing, and the chance that you have. It's called opportunity. You are given that opportunity, or something bad happens to you along the way. That time, and it so happened, you are at the wrong place at the wrong time, and something happens to you. That's called time and chance. And he goes on to say, for man also does not know his time. Like fish taken in the cruel net, like birds caught in the snare. Right? Have you all tried catching birds before? None of you. Have you all tried? So Pastor Mai and I, when we were young, we tried catching a bird. Okay, this crow, like, you know, the black crow. And so we had a box. So we all used to stay in the house, and then there's a garden. And then we'll tie a string. So we all, two of us, looking at the door, at the gate of a house, and then we tie a string to a box, and then the stick is there. So the stick holds up the box, right? And then we go and put, you know, ikan bilis and peanut. And then we wait for the bird to come. Yeah, so we wait for the bird to come. Then the bird will come. And then the fellow will take. But the moment we pull, the guy, whoosh, he is very, very smart. Very fast. Right? Okay, so doesn't apply here. Our trap doesn't trap the bird. But those who are expert, those who have done this many times, they know how to catch the bird. And all of a sudden, the bird is caught. Right? The bird is caught. And that's it. And that is what we call sometimes calamities, adversities that can happen to us when we least expect it. Things can go wrong. Things can go wrong and things will go wrong. And sometimes it's not dependent on how well you do in life in terms of your academics. It doesn't matter what kind of genes you have. It doesn't matter what background you have. It doesn't matter these things in life. Sometimes there are certain things that just happen to us out of the blue. In other words, time and chance. Like, for example, during the week, I was just talking to someone and someone was just telling me, oh, you know, my wife just found out she has 4th stage cancer. Out of you. No, you know, nothing to say that she has cancer, and all of a sudden she just found out I have cancer. went for a routine checkup. There were no signs. And then the doctor just diagnosed fourth stage cancer. And then there's one, and then another person who is a young adult, not so much older, maybe about 40 something, and yet he also found out recently that he has fourth stage cancer. And sometimes life is like that. Time and chance. It happens to all. Sometimes bad things can just happen out of the blue. And it doesn't matter whether you are good at what you do. It doesn't matter whether you come from a family where there are good genes. It doesn't matter. Right? There are times when these things can happen. So it's called time and chance. There's a time that's given to us. There's a chance that's given. And sometimes the chance can be good. Sometimes that chance yet in all these things, how should we see the way forward? And it's tough. Sometimes normal understanding is the swift will win. Normal understanding, the battle is won by the strong. Normal understanding, the skillful will always win the day. But you know what? Time and chance happen to all of us. Sometimes it just doesn't happen the way we want it to. And that is a reality of life. Now, we bring these two things together, right? Time and chance, and doing all things with all your might. Okay, so there's time and chance. And then there's work. Do all things. How do we reconcile both? You look at this, you can say, I might as well don't work so hard. Right? No difference. Okay? And then on the other hand, I want to work hard, but you know, there's this thing called time and chance. You follow? So should I work hard? Okay, then how do I sustain working hard? Especially if you've been, you know, working for a while, some of you have just started. How do I sustain? Okay, what do you all think? Any questions? Anybody want to ask? Can you see? What do you think? Come on, how long have you been working? I think you'll be the longest, right? Huh? Anybody working longer than 4 years?
Oh, close to five.
5 years, okay.
Going towards five.
Going towards five. Yeah. 5 years, okay. Mm-hmm. So how do you feel? Do you find that it's hard sustaining working with all your heart? I mean, let's just be very honest about it. Is it easy or is it not easy?
Is this working? Right?
Yeah. Is it working? It's working, right? Okay.
It definitely has the seasons. Like,
yes.
Yeah.
The reality of it is that he has seasons,
seasons,
right? It's not something that you can sustain continuously.
Yeah.
There are seasons. Meaning? How do you explain it?
I mean, work scope itself, if you were to look at it, it has more busy times, it has less busy times.
Sure.
And like you say earlier, the people around you may change as well, so there would be a different scenario.
Yeah.
And a new mix of work plus people.
Yeah.
So, yeah, definitely. And then people itself is complicated.
Yeah.
So, definitely that give it a little bit more dynamics to it. So, I would say it definitely has its seasons.
Yeah. So, firstly is work. When you are good at your work. So, initially is mastering your work.
Yeah.
Right. I think that's what we all go through. For some of you, is to find work. Right. Then you are at a phase of finding work. Okay, let's put it in three phases. Things. One is, okay, should I give up finding work? Should I press on? Yeah, do with all your might. Right? Whatever it is, do with all your might. Just keep praying. This one, you pray hard. Right? Do with all your might. Okay, so once you find work, okay, you got to work hard. And to me, the first few years is about mastering your work. It's about doing well in your work. Okay, and then after that is, wow, one big factor is people. How do you handle people? Wow, to me, so after you, while you master the work, your work is almost there. It's the people that creates the problem. Right? For you, it's the students in time to come. No, parents. Parents are going to give you a really hard time, right? And so, okay, how do you manage all this? How do you sustain something? How do I sustain prayer? How do I sustain the challenge to master my work? Right? Because it's going to be challenging. When I first became a pilot, wow, I got all this SOP. You know, it's SOP, right? Standard operating procedures. By the way, what work do you do? Are you working? Oh, you're still studying. Okay, what do you study? Accounting. Wow. Might take my hat off to you. You're here? Final year. Okay, so you'll be working soon. Yeah, good time to be here to learn. Yeah, and you know what? It's going to be challenging, right? Once you go out into the accounting world, there are many, many things that you need to work at. Okay, so how do you sustain something? Whether it's prayer, whether it's mastery, or whether it's sustaining the tenacity of work, the spirit to have the tenacity to keep going despite the people. How do you go about it? Yeah, Sarah, what do you think? Or do you have any questions?
I don't really know how to answer that question, like how to sustain the...
Yeah, that's why I raised the question. Yes, how do you sustain? You see, because to me, that is the secret to working life. If you can sustain what you're doing and doing it at a high level every day for the rest of your life. It's not impossible. I've done it for 40 years. It's not impossible. It can be done. But is something that you have to cultivate and train in. Right? It is sustainable. It is something that you can do year in, year out. It's tough. It's not easy, I understand. And there'll be good days and bad days. But if you generally know the direction you're going, it's going to really help. Okay, who else been working? Brian, how long have you been working here? You're the oldest one here, right? Huh? How old are you?
He's the oldest. I'm 30 this year.
Ah, yeah, la, so you're the oldest. La. Okay.
Yeah, but I haven't worked that long. Three. It'll be 4 years in August.
Yeah. 4 years. Okay. La.
That's so long.
Yeah, anyway, you've been working 4 years. So, how? What do you think? He's a nurse, by the way. Yeah, he's a nurse. Male nurse.
Just nurse. La.
Do they got rank? Do they have ranks?
Yes, sir.
So what is your rank?
I'm a senior staff nurse.
Staff nurse. Okay, senior staff nurse. Then after that?
And senior staff nurse 1. Then assistant nurse clinician.
Then 2, then 3.
The numbers count down. So it's 2, now I'm 2. Then I'll be, if I put more, I'll be 1.
Oh, okay. So what you started with?
Staff nurse 1.
Sorry?
Staff nurse 1.
No, what do you start with?
Staff nurse 1.
Then
senior staff nurse 2.
Then after that?
Then senior staff nurse 1.
Oh, okay. Okay, sorry.
I guess, yes, motivation has to come from somewhere outside, I guess. Because sometimes, especially when things get difficult, when someone mentioned earlier, like sometimes your colleagues are a problem or your boss is a problem. Sometimes the motivation, course. Yeah, the motivation to continue is from like that will come from within is very little. Yeah. So like some of my colleagues find their motivation in like their patients and stuff.
Yeah.
But even that can be a problem because sometimes your patients are the problem. Yeah.
Sure. Definitely. And especially if boss is a problem, patient is a problem, environment is a problem, then how? you can begin by saying this is what you love doing, but then, wow, when you know, it's called a perfect storm, when all three, four things come together, then how? And that's the challenge. How do you sustain, you know, the ability to just keep going in your work? Okay, any questions anybody want to ask? Who's next? Who's the longest working here? Gabby. Okay. Let's ask all the senior people. Gabby, how?
How to sustain? Trust in the Lord.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that we all say all the time. We trust the Lord. But what does that mean? Personally,
I think it's something that I'm, like you said, perfect storm. I feel like I'm going through one now.
Okay, wow.
Like,
okay, this... well, good, wonderful. So, not that a perfect storm is wonderful. It's just, how are you doing it now?
Okay, like, maybe not perfect, like, but I think over the past 2 years, a lot of things at my workplace have changed. So,
changed.
So, like, colleagues that were the, not problem, la, but you know what I mean. And then this year, a lot of my bosses also changed. So, I think one of the lessons that I learned from last year and seeing how things played out and transpired was really that God has a plan. And at the start of it, I really couldn't see it. I was like, why is this person here? Why do we have to do this together? How do I do this thing with this person? It's very difficult. It doesn't seem to be working.
Sure.
But I mean, in the end, at the end of the year, it worked out and God had a plan. So this year, when a bigger storm hit,
yeah.
I think my takeaway from last year was to really trust in the Lord, and that is how I am sustaining day by day. Okay. When there are fires to put out, and things don't seem to be working out, things seem to be really wrong, and I don't know how to do things with all my might when I don't believe that whatever people are doing are the right thing.
Yeah. Sure. So, it's not illegal, right? Or is it?
No. I don't think so. No, la. No, la. It's just...
it's just that you don't agree the way they do things. And that's the challenge. When you don't agree with what they are doing, and yet you still have to do it. That is the real working world. Can you still do it with all your might? How? Okay, you say trust the Lord, but what does that mean, trust the Lord? How to do it? I don't believe it. It's not something that I think is the right way to go. When I was in the Air Force, the last 2 years, I was in HQ. So I was pushing papers. I was writing papers and all. No more flying. Flying was like once a week. So I was writing papers. I was organizing safety conventions and so on and so forth. I was in the safety department, so-called. It's called Accident Prevention Department. And I had three bosses. And all three has different style of working. So I had three bosses. Three bosses as in different times, right? They change. One, every single word in your paper that you write has to be very precise. Second one, don't care. Just write it. He takes a look at, okay, send it out. Right? Third one, don't even bother. You just do your own thing. So all three different styles of working. How do you think I survived that 2 years? Okay. Anything else? Anyone want to ask? Matthias, how? How many years really? Okay.
Total three.
Okay. All the senior. You? 2 years? Okay. You? 0. Internship, okay. Can count the internship also. Yeah. How? Sustain. How do you sustain? How do you sustain it for 20 years? 30 years? how do you sustain something? Because if you are always looking for job satisfaction in your working life, I'm going to tell you, you're going to really have a hard time. Because that's not how the world works. Job satisfaction should not be... If it's there, great. But if it's not there, then I think we should not focus on it so much. Okay, like for example, people say, oh, you know, my dream, okay, this is my work, I don't like my work, I stop working so that I can start my own cafe. I have my own bakery. I was listening, I was watching this video, and there was this couple who gave up everything, put $200,000-$300,000 into their cafe. 15 years later, they have a closed shop. And it became a nightmare for them, especially during COVID. And she was in tears and said, this was our dream. And then that's it. Gone. Wow. Was that? Is that what it was meant to be? No, that's real life. That's what life is. Life, time and chance. COVID happened and a lot of business went bust. That's life. The reality of life is that life is not going to be a bed of roses. Working life is not going to be easy. It's going to be hard. Don't focus on just job satisfaction. Right? Recently, our DPM was talking, it was an interview, and they were talking about the strawberry generation. And then someone stood up and said, I'm part of the strawberry generation. And and I mean, to me, I don't think we should label anyone. I think at the end of the day, it's what you have inside you that really matters. And how you understand things, how you see things in life. Okay, I'm going to share with you something that perhaps you have studied before, but I'm going to share it perhaps in a certain way that can help you see it as a way of looking at life and work and responsibility and sustain it for the rest of your life. Okay, now let's turn to Colossians. And this is a passage that we have studied before, but I thought it would be good to just re-look at this and how to see this in a very, very special way. Okay, let's turn to Colossians. And in Colossians, hold on now. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Now let's begin with that. And so in Colossians chapter 3 and in verse 16. Now, one of the ways we can sustain something is what you feel inside you. Okay, don't begin with external. You see, we always begin with work. We always begin with what is external. The boss, the environment, the people. Don't begin with that. Work should never begin with external. It should be what is internal. It is what's inside you. Okay? And so as Christians, as people who know the Lord, one of the things we do is that we have the Word of God. And the Word of God can be a tremendous life force within us. It can be something that we can find, and that is something that can sustain us in every environment, every kind of work, every kind of responsibility in life. Okay? And I like what it says in Colossians 3 and in verse 16. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Okay? Let the word of Christ, the word of God, the word that is the gospels, the lessons, let it dwell in you. The word dwell is the word inhabit. It is a house word. You are dwelling in a house. It is indwelling. It is to stay. It is to remain. It is the same word as abide me and I in you, right? In John 15. And let the word of Christ dwell deeply. Okay, let it dwell in you to such extent it becomes richness to the soul. See, what we are looking for is this ability to find a richness of soul, of strength, of heart, of mind that can sustain us through anything. See, a lot of times we, okay, yes, the Word of God, we study the Word of God, we understand the Word of God, but a lot of times we just leave it as it is. It speaks to us, it encourages us, it helps us through the week. But you know what? Very often, it stops there. But if you let the Word of God dwell in you until the richness comes, the richness as in, you know, it's just something that's very, very uplifting, and it is something that is solid, and it is dense. It is. Recently, I went to someone's house, and the person gave me blue cheese cheesecake. Have you all tried blue cheese? Any of you all like blue cheese? Yeah, you like blue cheese. Anybody else? You like blue cheese? No, you don't like. Okay. So this doesn't speak to you. So, but blue cheese cheesecake, wow, it's from Olivia. You know, it's a Olivia. Wow, I tell you, it's super dense and it is really out of this world. If you like blue cheese, it's really good. Huh? But it's not for everyone. Because blue cheese in itself is very strong. Blue cheese, cheesecake, my goodness. When I took it, I say, wow, this is really rich. Wow, I can feel the richness go through my blood vessel, you know, yeah. Wow, in my heart. Wow, I can heal it, the heart pumping straight away. What is this? Wow, you can really feel the richness. Wow. You know, and I think that's what the Word of God should be in our hearts and our lives. Sometimes we don't dwell on the Word of God as we should. I mean, during the 2 weeks that I, you know, had to stay at home, I was on 2 weeks MC. Well, first time 2 weeks MC. Right? Well, actually not the first time. When I went for my first operation, it was also about 2 weeks. But it was the first time I had to miss church weekend twice. And I read books too. In fact, I read a book about a pioneer to AI. Her name is Li Feifei. And she started this thing called ImageNet. And it's a book called The Worlds I See. And it's a very interesting book about how she was the one of the ladies, one of the people who started putting things together for AI. So actually, AI is built on a lot of things. It's never just one thing. It's built through the years. And one of the things that was built on was this thing called ImageNet, where they got all the images from thousands and thousands of pictures, and then they categorize it, and then they begin to fuse it together with neuroscience and computer science. I'm 3/4 ways through it, almost finishing it. But you know, you can read it. It's interesting, a bit inspiring at times, but you know, that's it. There's no richness to the soul. But when you read the scriptures, I guarantee you, it is a book that I've studied for the last 40 years. I read through it 8 times. And there's nothing come close to it. The richness that you find to the soul, it is nothing compared. And you find this sense of richness. And how you know there's that richness? It comes out wisdom. All wisdom. You find a wisdom to navigate anything and everything in this world. You find a wisdom to understand a lot of things about life. You find a wisdom for almost every situation in life and how to go through it. Most of all, you find the wisdom to relate to God. So the problem with Ecclesiastes, this verse that Solomon wrote, what is the problem? Is that he didn't include God. God is not part of the equation. It was just work hard. Right? Anybody can tell you to work hard. But the big difference in Colossians 3 is that Paul included God. Right? And then he goes on to say how we can teach, verse chapter 3, verse 16, how we can teach and admonish. Admonish means to counsel, to advise one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. There will come a great sense of joy to the heart, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. You know, there will come a song in the heart. Right? I tell you how I sustained 40 years of working life. There's always a song in my heart. I find the joy to sing. I find the joy to just sing to the Lord, to worship the Lord. Okay? During my operation. So my operation was 1.5 hours. First 10 minutes, they sedated me. That means I was knocked out. So they cut open my eyelid. Right? And then after 15 minutes, 20 minutes, they woke me up. Okay? And then he asked me to open my eyes, close my eyes, open my eyes, close my eyes. For the next 40 minutes, he asked me to open my eyes, close my eyes. And he started stitching. He started fusing things together. And the last part, I knew he was stitching up everything. So as he was stitching, oh man, I tell you, it was, I don't know whether the LA was wearing off, but I could feel a bit of pain. Okay? Sorry to describe all this to you. My pain is your pain. But as I was going through it, I say, very painful. I begin to sing in my heart. What? Not out loud. After the guy, oh, you just... I began to sing in my heart. Cannot sing out loud. He was playing a 1980 song. They were playing 1980 songs as he was doing. What song. But anyway, I was singing in my heart. And the song that came was Rejoice in the Lord. Da, 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 rejoice in the Lord now and always. Da, 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 da. Yeah. So I was singing in my heart. And as I sang, you know, that's I found I began to laugh within my own heart and I say, well, okay, never mind, just start a bit more. But you know, I found the joy to just. And I think that's one of the keys to living and working hard and sustaining. Is that you don't find joy in the work itself. You find joy in the in this world. Okay? And when you do that, whatever you do in word, verse 7, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through. And so I began to do this for everything I did when I was in the Air Force. 8 years, I was in the Air Force. I began to do this for everything that I did. Every mundane thing that I did, organized family day, right, for 120 people. What does being a pilot have to do with organizing family day, right? Go and look for source for, what do you call it? You throw the ball and then the guy dunking. What do you call it? Huh? Dunk? Dunk tank, yes. Go and source for this dunk tank so that the boss can sit on it. Then everybody can throw the ball at the thing so they can dunk him. And wow, so we pay 100 bucks, 200 bucks for him. And my boss, you know, yeah, I know y'all don't like me, so. What does that got to do with being a pilot? Zero. And yet, that is part of my responsibility. What does statistics got to do with flying? every month I have to go and compile all the statistics of all the pilots, of all the flying. I have to compile. It takes me 2-3 days to do it. I will still do it. And every time I do it, I say, Lord, this is for you. I'm going to do this for you. This has nothing to do with flying. This has nothing to do with what I'm doing in my primary role. But I'm going to do it for you. I do it in the name of the Lord. I do it because I want to give thanks that I have this opportunity to work. Okay? And then we move on to the next part. Verse 22. Born servants, right? Obey all things your masters according to the flesh. Ha. Now, what does that mean? Of course, we are not born servants. We're not slaves. But in some ways, those of you working in the, for the government, you are slaves. You are called civil servants. Civil servants? Right? And what's the other one? Public servants. Right? And so, I had three bosses. All three bosses, working style different. You know what? I will do according to what you want me to do. Not what I feel is the best thing to do. Okay? As long as it's legal, as long as I'm not dishonoring the Lord, I will do it the way you want me to do it. And I'll do it my very best for you. That's how dynamic my working style is. And I survived. I survived three different bosses. It's no longer about my right. It's no longer about what I think is best. It's about what you want me to do. It's different. My perspective is very different. Right? I can suggest. I can improve. I can tell you, okay, boss, maybe this one better. So we used to have this thing called calendar. It's called a safety calendar. Every year, they will send out a calendar. Now you don't have, but last time they used to have. Right? Now with smartphone, everything's on a smartphone. But last time we used to send out safety calendar. And it used to be very old school. Safety is paramount. Then they put screwdriver, they put, you know, things should be packed. Nothing interesting. I took one look and said, it's so boring. Right? It's been there. And I've been in the Air Force for 6 years already. Every year is the same old thing. So when it was, you know, within my purview to look after it, I revamped the whole thing. I got a designer to come in. I had really, really exciting, beautiful pictures of planes with the sunset. It's really, inspiring. You take one look at the picture, it's very inspiring. And I did that and came back. Everybody say, well done, Mitch, this is really good. I say, well, thank you. But you know what? I did it for the Lord. I did my best for Him. It's no longer the external part that meant that was important. It was what was inside me that drove me to do my very best and to sustain it. If you are looking for job satisfaction, you are just looking for the usual thing, I can tell you, after a while, if problems come, difficulties come, it's very hard to sustain. But if you find this within your heart, I can tell you, you can sustain it for 40 years. And you can still carry on doing the same thing again and again. Right? Obey your bosses. He goes on to say, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. Don't do it because your boss is looking. Don't do it because you just want to please your boss. Do it because you're doing it with sincerity. How to do it with sincerity? Fearing God. In other words, you've got to exercise faith. You've got to bring God into the picture. And I tell you, that 8 years, and even now, after, you know, being a pastor for the last 30 years, I still practice this. I still sustain the kind of energy that I had as a young worker, and it's been 40 years, and I still find the strength to carry on. Why? Because I still basically practice these things. It is not just good advice. It's not just being inspired by quotes and so on and so forth, or, you know, positive thinking or atomic habits or whatever you have books out there. Right, we have all these books and they inspire you for a while. But they don't tell you everything. They don't deal with problems and difficulties that you will face. But I can tell you, if you do this, look for it internally rather than externally. I can tell you, you can sustain whatever you do. I guarantee it. Let me be an example of that. 40 years I've been working. Since I was 19 years old. Every day, I still look forward to coming to work. Right? Sincerely, of heart. And whatever you do, do it heartily. That means do it with your soul. The word heartily is to do it with your soul. Put your heart and soul into it as to the Lord and not to man. In other words, don't do it for man. If you do it for man, I will do it for man in terms of his prescribed way he wants it to be. I'll do it for you the way you want me to do it. In that sense, yes. But when I'm doing it, I'm not doing it for you. I'm doing it for God. I'm honoring God with my work. So every time I do something, and especially something that is very, very hard, or why am I doing this? I didn't sign up for this. I always tell the Lord, Lord, I'm doing this for you. And somehow it works out. It really, really works out in a way that you see God blessing it every step of the way. Knowing that from the Lord, you will receive the reward of your inheritance. In other words, there is an eternal inheritance that is planned for us. If we do it for Him, that eternal inheritance is so much more confirmed. It is so much something we can look forward to. Right? For you serve the Lord Christ. Wow. You are serving the Lord. So in other words, service is not limited to just serving in church. Service can also be applied in our working world. Can you see? That is also service to God. And that's what I've been doing all these years. Serving God. Now, some people say, oh, since I'm serving God in my working world, then I don't need to serve the church. No, that's not what we mean. Okay? Church is still a priority. Serving God in the church is also a priority. But when you are working in the world, we should also see it as serving God. But it should not replace serving God in church. You follow? Sometimes people say, oh, but I'm serving God. Then I don't need to serve in church. No, that's not what Paul meant. What Paul meant is that as you work, you should also see it as serving God. That's what he meant. Right? And he who does wrong will be repaid by what has been done. There is no partiality. In other words, if you don't do it the way that God wants you to do it, you don't do it the way that the working world wants you to do it, then of course along the way you gotta pay the price for it. Okay, any questions you want to ask about this and how to apply? Yes, okay. Ask.
Testing. I think, like, previously we touched on quite a fair bit on, like, let's say this circumstance or this situation is not ideal.
Yeah.
And, like, how do we find the motivation to sustain it?
Yeah.
So, like, let's say this is, or not let's say, this is a situation that I am facing right now. So, like, yeah. I think I really wanted to progress and learn. Like 5 years in the industry, but I still wanted to, that's a good thing. I still wanted to learn, I still crave for it. But opportunity doesn't really come at all times. So that's the season, maybe.
Yeah.
So how to navigate with that? Like, meaning you have the heart, you have the drive to go forward, which is, I think, internally is probably quite well set.
Yeah.
But the external is not
ideal. Yeah.
To couple with that, how do we
understand? So in other words, you are thinking, should I carry on where I'm working because it's not going the way where you want it to go? Is that?
Yeah, it's like, if you put it bluntly, it would be like, you wanted to go forward or like move, progress, but opportunity is not there.
Opportunity because the company is limited or the company is not giving you the opportunity?
It can be both ways. Like, the industry-wise is not in this
because things are not good now.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So actually, it's a seasonal thing now.
Yeah, it can be, right?
It's a seasonal thing now. Yeah. The seasonal is because things are bad. The world economy is bad. People are not hiring. People are not promoting. People are not advancing. You know, and people are cutting down, basically. So, to me, at this point of time, it's a seasonal issue. Right? It may not be a company issue, it's just a seasonal. We are entering a time where it is challenging. That's the word season. Sorry, forgive my handwriting. Yeah, so I was just explaining for some of them who are looking for a job. It's going to be challenging. It's not going to be a straightforward thing. Right? Gabby, how long it took to find your job? 9 months. It took her 9 months, right? Michelle, you're in love now. 9 months for her to find a job, right? There was one lady that we used to have in Bethany. She waited 1.5 years to find a job, ultimately. Right? So that was a very tough. That was a time where it was recession, right? And if Singapore do enter, I don't think we would, but if we do enter into a recession, then it's going to be. So you gotta see, so you gotta have the overall picture first. What's the overall picture? Right? And if it's bad, then of course your company, whatever is chasing after, is also gonna be bad. Right? Now, the question is, so if you are coming to a point where you are trying to decide, should I move on or should I stay? It's called a crossroad. You come to a crossroad, and then every time you come to a crossroad, you have to determine and seek the Lord and to ask, should I stay? So there are 3 options or 4 options. Should I stay? Should I move on to company 1? Company 2? Should I retire as a Tai Tai? Marry a rich man? A Hong Kong businessman? He's from Hong Kong, so... I go back and stay in my father's house, my mother's house, and then I just be very happy being there, right? Be lazy. So, you I mean, that's one option, just saying. Especially all the Hong Kong movies, you know, all the Tai Tais. Okay, coming back then. Right, so, then I look, again, the pros and cons. Is it possible? Is it realistic? You look at company 1 and company 2, they're not hiring, nobody's hiring. Then how? Right? You gotta put your ear to the ground. You gotta see whether people are hiring, what's available. You also gotta see, is your goal or what you want for yourself realistic at this stage? Is it a realistic goal? Is it something that you can realize it? Or because of the overall picture now that things are bad, it's not something you can achieve. And if it's bad, there's nobody hiring, it's hard, then you find this to just keep going where you are. Right? And you never know. Sometimes staying where you are, they see loyalty. They will reward you for your loyalty. Right? Okay, any other factors that... Does that make sense, or...?
I think it's... Like I would say, it's seasonal. Like, if I were to see it, categorize it as, like, a seasonal thing,
yeah,
then it would come to pass.
Yeah.
So...
Sure.
I think the cost-benefit analysis here, yeah, it's kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
And then from there to seek the Lord, and if the idea is to stay on.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. To me, a good possibility is to stay on.
Yeah.
And to press on, because they have been treating you in some ways quite well also, right? They've been,
yeah.
Right. They've been doing. Yeah. They've been fulfilling their part of the bargain. Although you had some really not so good bosses along the way, but
yeah.
Generally they have been doing their part.
Yeah.
Can I say that?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And they provided for you, and you know, if it's good, then why don't you just stay on for a while more and see how it is? At least let the year, you know, what transpire, and then see how the year goes.
Mm.
Then at the same time, you can put your ears to the ground.
Yeah.
You know, are they available, or are you being headhunted?
Someone's
coming. Huh?
Also.
Yeah. So yeah. People are headhunting you also along the way. Yeah. Then see what's available too.
Yeah.
Right. So, and then pray about it. Then kind of talk to me.
Yes.
Personally. Yes. Then we'll go in depth into it. Okay, any other questions? Is it all relevant? Can you see? Is it helpful? Yeah. Oh, Ken? You see now what I was talking about? This one very important. Okay? To me, the key thing is always this. Don't look at the external. You keep looking at the external, I can tell you half the time you'll be very disgruntled. So, you take away the pressure from this. Sure, there are some things, okay lah, I mean, the fella asks you to do things that are illegal, then of course, then maybe it's time to change. But if it's all within limit, it's good, you know, find this internal strength. And I can tell you, it can sustain you. The Lord can sustain you through the years there. As He has for me. Right? And I dwell on the Word of God every day. Sometimes hours. What do you think I did for my 2 weeks at home? Majority of the time was dwelling on the Word of God. Dwelling on the Word, thinking, praying. Going back to it again and again and again. Next week. So we are going to Gabby's place next week on Sunday. Okay, you all know where Gabby's place is? It's in Woodlands. You're welcome to join us if you can on Sunday evening. We're having a YAG1 gathering. You know, and we'd like to invite you. You can join us. She has a very big. Parents have a big flat. It's called a jumbo flat. Have you all seen a jumbo flat? So hers is done. So can take all of us. That's why we're going to her place. If it's a small flat, then, you know. Okay? And Auntie Eve is going to cook for us. Okay? She's going to cook a very nice meal for us. Okay? We are bringing dessert. She's cooking everything. And she's a very good cook. So you're welcome to join us next Sunday. It's at Woodlands. How many of you cannot make it? The rest can, huh? Okay, good. Ken, we'll send out the thing again. Your include. Would you like to be included in our group chat? Okay? YAG1 group chat. Okay, we'll include you. And then we'll let you all know what's happening. Okay, any questions? Anybody else? Okay, well, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we just want to pray and thank you for today's lesson from the perspective that we have received from Solomon, how it's important to do all things with all our might, and yet we also can see that it can be limited. And we thank you for Paul's perspective of how we can bring you into the picture, how we can do all things by dwelling on the Word of God first and finding richness of soul and wisdom to be able to do all things for the Lord Jesus. We pray, dear Father, that you will help us to sustain this in our life, and then we can continue working, looking at you and not just the external things. We pray, dear Lord, that you will guide us and bless us in all that we do, prosper the work of our hands, be with those who are looking for work.
pray, dear Father, that you will guide them and provide for them. And we pray, dear Father, that you will bless this gift, this offering for your work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.